We're holding on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the ninth line. We were learning about the, we've been wrapping up the matter of the various karbonos and other things that are brought on Yom Kippur, the animals for karbonos and the sar lazazel, which is of course not a carbon, and who is being the scapper with what. So we established in the Mishnah, and we were discussing in the Gemara, that there's two major opinions. You have Rabbi Yehuda holding that when it comes to the, to the Sur Bifnim, the Sur Lashem, that covers everybody, both Yisraelim and Kohenim, as far as Tumas Mitzvah Shvakotchev. And then, as far as other Averis, or rather the other way around, when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shvakotchev, then you have the Yisraelim are covered by the Sur Hanas Bifnim. And then the Kohenim, meanwhile, for the same thing, they have the power of the Kohen Gadol, which is also brought, where the blood is also brought inside. When it comes to other Averis, then everybody's covered by the Sur Lazazel. According to Reb Shimon, then we said that no, the Sur Lazazel doesn't cover the Kohenim at all. The Sur Hanasi Bifnim is for Tumas Mitzvah Shvakotchev for Yisraelim, and the Sur Lazazel is for Yisraelim for all other Averis. Meanwhile, for the Kohenim, both of those things are covered by the par, one with the vidui on the par, and the other, the actual sprinkling of the blood of the par. So we were discussing in this connection that since the Pasuk says about the Sur, that it's Asher La'om, that it's for the people, implying, but not the Kohenim, that is what tells us, therefore, that according to both opinions, it can't cover the Kohenim, and it can only cover the Yisraelim and Levium, and the Kohenim are going to have something else. So the question is, and we mentioned in that connection the following. Here, where by the Sur Anas Bifnim, the Sur Lashem, it calls it Asher La'om, that belongs to the people, implying that it's not for the Kohenim. And then we also had, on the other hand, by the power of Kohen Gadol, it says Asher Loi, that's for him, but we had brought. That according to that we brought a braisa, which first we thought was the first we said one possibility is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one says it can even be like Rabbi Yehuda, that says that the power does work for the Kohenim, because even though it says Asher Loi, nevertheless it includes the Kohenim, as well. Because we say the word loy itself would mean only for him, but we see already that it covers even his family, so therefore it can be broadened to include the other Kohenim as well, and besides, the Kohenim are in fact called Beisa, because it says Beis Aaron Bochor Hashem. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'hai Asher La'om L'hochi U'da'asa. So you're telling me that the word Asher La'om is coming to tell us that it means that only the people have their kapara with it, and the Kohenim do not. What do you mean? We need those psukim to tell us that it has to be brought from the money of the tzibur. Unlike the power of Kohen Gadol, which is brought from the Kohen Gadol's own personal money, here we need the Sur Lashem and the Sur Lazazel, for that matter, because they're brought together, have to be brought from public funds. So we need the word Asher La'om for that. And the answer is, it means that the Torah is telling you that it needs to be from the people. The answer is, that we can learn from the fact that the Pasuk says, a few psukim earlier, it says that this korban, or these two seirim, Lashem and Lazazel, should be brought from the Jewish people, Me'es Adas Me'Israel, from the congregation of the Jewish people. So from that, we see already that it means that it has to be bought from public funds, from the Truma Salishka, and therefore we don't need the other Pasuk Asher La'om, so therefore that can tell us that the Kapara of it is also reserved only for the Jewish people. Now, you usually have a rule when it comes to Kodshim, which the Gemara is going to bring soon, Shana Olava Kosov La'akiv, that generally speaking, when it comes to Kodshim, in order for something to be ma'akiv, in order for something to be an absolute requirement, it has to say it twice in the Pasuk. So here you would say then in that case, why don't we say that the second time is to tell us that it's ma'akiv, so... So the Gemara is going to actually point out that there are three psukim in this connection. But anyway, the point is that on the face of it, since already it says he has to take from Adas Bnei Yisrael, then that would automatically mean that's my active that Ramban points out. Okay. So the question still is the high. Okay, so that's as far as the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazazel. It's clear from the Psukim that it has to be Asher La'om, that it has to come from the money of the Tzibur. It's also clear that it is Mechaper only for the Tzibur, and therefore, and both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are agreeing with that point, that it's not Mechaper for the Kohenim. For that, they need the Par Kohen Gadol. The Machlokas between them only was as far as other Averis. Okay. The question is, how about the Asher Loi of the Kohen Gadol, of the Kohen Gadol's power? You're telling me that it's coming to tell us that it's Mechaper only for the Kohen Gadol and his immediate family, and then Reb Shimon is saying the Kohenim in general are considered the Kohen Gadol's immediate family, and therefore they can be covered by it as well. But what do you mean? We need the word Asher Loi for a different purpose. Haimi Boyle L'Chidatanya. We need it to teach us what it says in the following Braisa. Mishaloi who maybe he has to bring the Korban from his own money. Vein maybe Mishal Tzibur, he cannot bring it from funds of the Tzibur. Now, Yochol's lo yovim mishal tzibur, she'ein ha-tzibur miskapen boy. So you might think, fine, he can't bring it from money of the tzibur because the tzibur is not having a kapara with it. Everybody agrees to that, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that the power of Kohen Gadol is not being mechaper for the Yisraelim, only for the Kohenim. The Machlokas is only what it's mechaper for. Is it mechaper for them only for Tumas Mitzvah for Kodshav, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, or for all the other Averis as well, according to Rabbi Shimon? So you would think, fine, of course it can't come from the tzibur, because the tzibur is not having their kapara with it. But you would think maybe he is allowed to raise money for it among the other Kohenim. After all, the other Kohenim do have a kapara of some kind with it, depending on the different opinions what it is. So therefore the Torah again says Asher Loi, again it says Asher Loi, that it means it has to be his, and it has to be out of his own personal money. Now, Yochol lo yovi v'im hevi kosher, then you would think, okay, so maybe it means that he shouldn't bring, but if he did collect money from the Kohenim for it and bring it, then b'dievet it should be kosher. Tamad loima, therefore the pasuk says, Tamad loima shuv, asher loi, therefore the Torah says, yet again, asher loi, hakosuv, shona olav la'akiv. At this point we have where the Torah has repeated it in order to be ma'akiv. So just like we said before when the Torah says something twice, it means it's ma'akiv. So by the Sur Lashem, it only says twice Asher La'om. It says once from Esa Das and Esio Yikach, and a few psukim later it says Asher La'om. Fine, so that we have. Then Ramban explained, it's not so much Shana or Klos of La'akiv, it's rather the first one tells us that it has to be bought with money of the tzibur. Umei Esa Das Bnei So Yikach makes it clear it has to be that way. And then the second one tells us that it's only for the only for the people to be neskapa with, not for the Koyanim, according to Reb Shimon, not at all, and according to Reb Yehuda, not for Tumas Mekdash Vekodshav. But now, by the power of Kohen Gadol, it says three times Asher Loi, so therefore it's telling us everything. It's telling us that he has to bring it from his own money. He brings it from his own money. He can't even bring it from money that belongs to the other Kohenim, because that still wouldn't be Asher, because then the pasuk then repeats Asher Loi to tell us that not. And that if he did bring it from their money, then b'dieved, it would still be possible, because it's saying that it has to be from his own money. So that being the case then, so we need the word Asher Loi. So what are you telling me then, that you're also learning from that, that the Kohenim are not, that we said before, that we would have, we talked about before whether the Kohenim are miskaper with the power of the Kohen Gadol, and in the end we said yes, either because Asher Loi includes not only him but all the Kohenim, or because once we broaden it to his family, then we broaden it to all the other Kohenim as well, or because the Kohenim themselves are called Beisoi, and it says the Chibur Vader Vad Beisoi. But now we're saying we need the words Asher Loi to teach us. We do have the three times Asher Loi to teach us these dinim, that he has to buy it with his own money, that he can't even raise among the other Kohenim, and that b'dieved, even b'di'evad, he did that, it would be possible. So how are you telling me that we're using Ashaloi in addition to also learn about who gets covered by it?
Basically, it means other kohen as well, not only his family.
Well, that's what we were saying before. We were saying that on the face of it, when the Pasuk says, v'chipa badu v'ad besi, then it should mean only him and his immediate family. So we said, first of all, the word asher loy, it's true, it means that's for him, for his kapara, but once we're already saying, once it says, v'chipa badu v'ad besi, showing that it covers his family, so we see, in other words, the word loy is not really being restricted exclusively to him, then by the same token, we can also say that it means all the other kohenim as well.
Almost like cloud, private cloud.
Oh, not really cloud, private cloud, but like we're broadening it almost like loy. So fine. But then we said, in addition, another point, the Braise had said, since it says Beis Aaron, Baruch Hu Hashem, so therefore they can be included in Beisai as well. But now we're saying, though, that all three Ashaloys we need for something else. We need to teach us about whose money is used to buy this power, not to talk about who is included in the Kapare and Etzvona. So the answer is Tana Hochi Kokashalai. The answer is yes, but the Tana, he's asking like this, Maishnab de Amdulam Chaper, you're saying, why would it be that the Sir Lashem is not covering the Koyanim, is not covering the Koyanim? Must be the Lekochaskri de Mamoina, because the Koyanim are not paying for it. They're not using any money to pay for it. Dichtiv Asher La'om, because the Pasuk says, Asher La'om, that it comes from the people. Meaning, in other words, that, that Tosfos points out, there's different opinions whether the Kohenim are even required to give Machzah Shekel. Even if they're required to give Machzah Shekel, but let's say, for example, Tosfos says, let's say they ran out of money and they have to raise money for it, they wouldn't call on the Kohenim, they'd only call on the Yisraelim. Another possibility would be, Tosfos says, let's say somebody comes and says, I have a goat, I want it to be used as the Sor Lashem, so I'm giving it to the Tzibur. Let's say he only says, I'm giving it to the Tzibur, not to the Kohenim, or rather he doesn't even say, he just says, I'm giving it to the Tzibur. The Kohenim would not be Zoicha in it, because there'd be no reason to, because it doesn't cover them. That's the whole point. We're saying the Sor Lashem doesn't cover them, for Tumas Mithras Hakadosh. Or anything.
And what do we know they're excluded?
That's what we learned yesterday. We discussed because the Torah calls it Asher La'om means it excludes them. So the question is, so why are you telling me the Kohenim are not covered by the Sir Lashem, because they're not using any money on it? Because as we said before, Asher La'om means it has to be bought from the money of the people, from the general fund. You should argue by the same logic they shouldn't be covered by Aaron's power either, like for the same reason, because they're not paying for it. The Kohen Gadol is bringing it out of his own money. So now the question is, and the answer is for Ka'amar. So the Tana answer is calling Kareem Beisai that all the Kohenim are considered part of Beisai because Beis Aaron, Baruch Hu Hashem. In other words, we are using all the three Ashaloys to say whose money it's bought with. But in addition, now the question is not so much that we're learning from Ashaloy that it covers them as well. The question is, well, why should it cover them if they haven't paid for it? And the answer is the Torah is telling you that covers them anyway. This is like I said yesterday, the Gemara elsewhere mentioned that the Torah is being mafkir that money of the Kohen Gadol and making it available to all the Kohenim as if they all participated in buying it.
Are you making it mafkir, but the bottom line is first you paid for it.
That's fine, but now we're saying Hashem is granting them a share in it, even though Hashem is granting them a share in it, and therefore they have the ability to have their kapara with it.
And the same thing you could say then with the general Yidden, which says Ashaloi,
Ashaloam, no, because there we don't have anything to say Beisai or anything like that to broaden it beyond them.
For some reason we take away the Kayanim out of the word.
No, hold on. Okay. The Pasuk says Ashaloam. By the Sor Lashem.
Right.
That makes it clear not Kohenim. The Om does not include Kohenim. We even talked about yesterday, Tosfos asks, what about, according to the opinions, that Om doesn't include Levium either, then how are they covered by it? But whatever, we talked about yesterday, yeah. What the Ritva answers, that's different in the case of Zerui L'Chayayim B'Keva, where Ha'om does not necessarily include the Levium, versus here where it does. So fine. There's no question the Sor Lashem doesn't include the Kohenim. The only question is, as far as Thomas Mithras Hakadosh, they definitely need the power of Kohen Gadol. The only question is, as far as their other Averis, are they covered by the Sor Lazazel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or are they not according to Rabbi Shimon? But now when it comes to the power of Kohen Gadol, three times the Torah says on it, Asher Loi. So we're saying that ultimately that means the Kohen Gadol has to buy it out of his own personal money. Now, with that said, that he has to buy out of his money, he can't raise it among the other Kohenim, and that's ma'akev, then the question is, well, why are the Kohenim being miskaper with it? And we know they are miskaper with something, because, again, we learned yesterday a pasuk that says, v'al ha'kohenim v'al kol am kol yichaper, so there's no question the Kohenim have their kapara with something. So the answer is that here the Gemara doesn't mention about being master, but the point is that it's obvious they're being scapped with something. So first the Braisa had said, once we find that loy is being broadened to include the Kohen Gadol's family, because it does say clearly in the pasuk chippa v'ader v'ad v'esay, so therefore we can also broaden it to the other Kohenim as well, or that we said you want to argue that maybe not, then after all you can say v'esay includes the Kohenim as well, because v'esay and v'ochor So in other words, it's not so much that we're learning from one of the Asher Lois that covers them, but rather we're saying fakeh, once it's only from his money, how would we know if they're covered? And the Braisa gives us two ways to figure that out. So that covers that. Okay, so now the Gemara says one more thing. B'shlema l'Rav Shimon. So now, according to Rav Shimon, it's easy to understand where, again, he says that the Kohenim are completely covered by the power of Kohen Gadol, with the vidui of it covers the other Averis of the Kohenim outside Tumas Nefesh HaKadoshim, and then the sprinkling of the blood in it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, and so forth, is Mechaper for their Tumas Nefesh HaKadoshim. So, b'shleim l'Rav Shimon, ha'inuch d'v'tchei v'duyin v'dama par. So, according to Rav Shimon, it becomes easy to understand why you have two different viduyim. You have two different viduyim plus the sprinkling of the blood of the par. So you have two viduyim, one on the par. Twice the Kohen Gadol says vidui on the par, and then after the second vidui, he shechts it and brings the blood inside. We have in Yom Kippur davening on the Seder Havoda, we have twice over there. That he comes to the par. The first time is misvada for himself and his family. And the second time is aniuvesi of ne'aron am kedeshachal. So according to Rav Shimon, that's how it is. Because he holds chad keneged sar hanasa b'fnim. So one corresponds to the blood of the sar hanasa b'fnim, on which there's no vidui. V'chad, and the other one keneged sar hanasa b'chutz, and the other one corresponds to the sar hanasa b'chutz, the sar of the musafim. So
when there's a b'fnim, there's no vidui at all.
No, the one between there's no. So you have like this: the Kohen Gadol takes the two seirim. He does the girdle on them. He shechts the one Lashem and brings the blood inside. No, there's no vidui on it. Later on, when he comes to the Sar Lazazel to send it off to Azazel, then he says vidui on that before he sends it off with the guy.
Twice
vidui on the par and once on the Sar Lazazel. But there's no vidui on the Sar Lashem.
There's three of them all together.
There's three viduyim, but here we're focusing on the power right now. We're saying with the power itself, there were three things: two viduyim and the sprinkling of its blood. And so Rav Shimon would say like this: those three correspond as follows. Chad keneged sarah nasa b'fnim. One of them corresponds to the blood of the sarah nasa b'fnim. V'chad keneged sarah nasa b'chutz. The second one corresponds to the sarah nasa b'chutz, the sarah of the musaf.
Because they sprinkle the blood outside?
It means that the blood sprinkle the blood on the outside of Mizbeach. Yeah, it's like a regular chatas. V'chad keneged sarah mishalayach, and the third one corresponds to the sarah mishalayach. So the one b'fnim is where there was yediyah b'tchila and not yediyah b'soif, where it suspends his punishment. The one b'chutz is the one b'chutz for the Yisraelim would cover the other way around. There was no yediyah b'tchila, but there is yediyah b'soif, and the sarah mishalech would cover all their other averus. And according to Reb Shimon, all of that is the kohenim are not being covered by any of those goats. They're being covered only by the power. So you need three different things to take place with the power, and then those cover those three things.
And the power that they're being covered is
the power of the Kohen Gadol. That's what we're saying.
There's two viduyim plus the sprinkling of blood.
Okay. Yeah. So therefore, so we understand according to Reb Shimon why it is that we have three things that have to be done with that power. Two viduyim and one set of sprinklings of blood. Ever Lord of Yehuda, Tre Vidurian Vidama Per Lomali, but according to the Yehuda, why according to the Yehuda, who says that the Koyanim for the other Averas are covered by the Sarah Lazazel, so according to him, there's only two things that the power of Koyan Gadol needs to cover for the other Koyanim, namely, and for the Koyan Gadol, namely, Tumas Mikdash Kodshav, where there was Yediyah Betchila and not the Saif, and then so Tumas Mikdash Kodshav, where there was Yediyah Betchila and not Betchila. So according to him, then, why do you need two vidurim? B'chad vidur sagi. You should need one vidri, and then the sprinkling of the blood, and that then that covers, then that corresponds to two things that are done with the sir, with the two seerim. And the answer is echad loy v'echad lebeisay. And the answer is, according to that, the idea is the two vidurim are one for himself and one for his family. So the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, as we learn in a brisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, this is the correct way to do it. This is the logical way to do it. That first he's going to say vidui for himself and his family. Mutav yovei zakai v'chaper alachayev. It's more logical and better that the one who's already innocent, who's already cleaned up, should go and be mechaper for the chayev. Namely, so the first vidui, therefore, is going to be for the Kohen Gadol himself and his immediate family. Now that he did the vidui on that, and Hashem cleaned up any averus that he and his family may have done, now he himself is a zakai, now it's appropriate for him to be accomplishing the kapara for the rest of the koyanim. You can't really have that he himself is still guilty and he should be mechaper for them. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the point of the two vidurim. According to Rabbi Shimon, in other words, both vidurim on the par would be for all the koyanim, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, then we're saying the first one would be for himself and for his immediate family, and the second one would be for all the koyanim. Now, in other words, Tosfos points out when we have the nusach that we have in davening, which comes from the Mishnayos in Yoma, where the first time it says Ani Uvesi, and the second time it says Ani Uvesi of Nei Aaron Am Kadeshacha, that wouldn't be a coincidence of Shimon on the face of it, because according to Reb Shimon, he should be mentioning Bnei Aaron, Am Kadesh Recha, both times, and they would be covering two different types of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav of the Koyanim. That said, Tosfos says it might even go according to Reb Shimon, even the first one does already cover the Koyanim, but he's not going to say it explicitly until he's been cleaned up by the first vidui. He'll say Ani Uvesi. Maybe that'll include the Koyanim as well, on the grounds that we said that the Koyanim is part of Beisai, but it won't be explicit because first he's going to clean up himself with his vidui, and then he can mention the other Koyanim more explicitly. That's Tosfos' second answer, but again, according to the first answer, in fact, that Nusach would not be appointed Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon would, in fact, have to mention the Koyanim by both of them, and yeah, there are Rishonim, we'll learn that Ramban and the Ritva say just that, that according to Reb Shimon, he does, in fact, mention the Koyanim by each one of them.
According to Tosfos, there's no difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, then.
No, so that's what we're saying. According to Tosfos, there's no difference in the Nusach. According to Tosfos' second answer, or not second, according to their preferred answer, yeah, there's no actual difference in the actual Nusach of the vidui. The first time he's saying Ani Uvesi, and the second time he's saying Ani Uvesi of Naren Aaron Am Kadesh Recha. But it's just to make it so obvious that he's being misvada for the other Kohen before he himself is cleaned up. But nevertheless, according to Reb Shimon, that first vidui would in fact include the Koyanim as well, even though he doesn't mention them explicitly, and only the second one does he mention them explicitly, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not necessary. The first one is strictly for him and his family, because according to him, you only need two kaparis for the Koyanim using the power, and therefore, according to him, you don't need both Viduyim and the sprinkling of the blood to all cover the Koyanim, because you already have, the sprinkling of the blood will be one, and the second Viduy will be the other.
Makes more sense according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, the halacha is on the face of it according to Rabbi Yehuda. We do in fact say Ani Uvesi the first time and Ani Uvesi of Naran Am Kadesh Recha. So again, there are Rishonim who learn that Ramban and others learn that in fact, yes, that the Nusach that we say specifically reflects Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, although Tosfos is saying you might be able to fit in Rabbi Shimon's opinion into it as well. The fact is, yeah, the Rambam anyway does pass in the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of who's Niskafa with what. with the nafkamina being, like we talked about before, first of all, if a person does the saveira after a particular one of these korbanos is brought, then it can't cover him anymore, as he's still covered by the next one. So according to Reb Shimon, let's say, for example, if we said that if according to him, the koyanim are not covered by the sarah la'azazel at all, everything of theirs is covered by the pyre koyan gadol. So suppose now a koyan did an aveira after the pyre koyan gadol was brought, then too late, he's going to have to wait for next year for his kapara, whereas according to Reb Yehuda, he'll still have the sarah la'azazel. Yeah, then I'm ambassador like Reb Yehuda in that regard, so therefore it would mean that he is covered after all, at least as far as other aveiras, by the sarah la'azazel, yeah.
So according to the whole chakvatara, it sounds like the kohanim are not included in the sarah la'azazel, because it says specifically
that, it says asher la'om by the sarah la'ashem. And we said before that there's a hekesh between the Sar Lashem and the Sar, and between the Sar Lashem and the Sar Anas of Ahot, because it's Sar of the Musaf, and there's also a hekesh between it and the, so now we said there's also a hekesh between it and the Sar Lazazel. Does that hekesh mean also that the Sar Lazazel covers only the Israelim, or does it have a different meaning as we learned yesterday?
Yes.
So, yeah. So now, in this next perek, we're going to continue with this matter of Yediyas HaTrumah. Here, we're going to focus in our perek. So here, in the last perek, we began by mentioning Yediyas HaTrumah Shtayim Shein Arba, but we didn't really elaborate on it. Instead, we ended up talking mostly about the Korbanos Tzibur that cover Trumas Mikdash V'Kodesh. So that's what we were discussing, about the Sar Lashem and the Sar and the Sar Anas Mifnim, the Sar Anas Bachutz, the Sar La'azazel, the Par Kohen Gadol, and all of that. This also, we talked about the Seiri HaRegolim, the Seiri HaRosh Chodesh, so we talked about all of that. Now, in this parak, let's focus on the person's individual korban. There is a case, as we talked about before, Yediyah B'Tchilah, Yediyah B'Soif, V'Helem Ventayim, where he does have to bring a korban over the Yodid. So now, let's focus on the dinim of that. The case is where he does actually have to bring his own personal korban, rather than being Yotzeh with the korban of the Seiri. So the Mishnah starts off, Yediyas HaTrumah Shtayim Shein Arba. So the knowings of Trumah are two, which are four. So briefly, we had before, we said the basically the Shtayim Shein Arba is where, in order for him to be chay of a korban, it has to be that there was yediyah b'tchila v'yediyah b'soif, the hell of in time. So now you have, there can be, where there was yediyah b'tchila, that he's tomei. And that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Then there was Helam Ben Tayim, that he forgot that this is the Beis HaMikdash, and he went into it, or that he and then that he remembered again. So you have two. So you have the basic two where he didn't know that he was Tomei, and then he ate Kodesh, who entered the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Shtayim, and then Shehein Arba, you also have two more that you can bring in, where he knew that he was Tomei, but he didn't know this is the Beis HaMikdash, or he didn't know that this is Kodeshim.
I mean, how far can we still go?
We're going to talk about on Ahmed Bey's how it's possible a person doesn't know that he's in the Beis HaMikdash.
Unless he says Alzheimer's.
Hold on, we'll see. Anyway, so that's the Shtayim Shein Arba. So you have basically, in other words, so again, you have the basic Shtayim, which we see from the Psukim, or where he forgot that he was Tomei, and the Shehein Arba also includes where he didn't know that this is Kodshim or this is the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Mishnah spells out Nitma. So if the person became Tomei, the Yoda, and he knew that he was Tomei, we're going to see, by the way, in the Gemara, the Yoda is not so simple that it means he knows he was Tomei. We're going to talk about something, we touched on this in the previous parak. We talk about something called Yediyas Beis Rabba. There was the kind of knowing, which is, he learned in Cheder, this concept that a person tells the sheretz, for example, he's Tomei. That may be considered enough to be considered Yediyah all by itself. We're going to see in the Gemara. So Nitma, he became Tomei, the Yoda, and he knew that he became Tomei, and that he's also to enter the Beis HaMikdash. The Nelman Menu Atuma, then he forgot that he was Tomei, the Zohar Es HaKodesh, but he knows that this food that he's going to be eating is Kodshim. So now, if he had known that he was Tomei, he wouldn't eat it, but he forgot that he was Tomei. Or the other way around, Nelman Menu HaKodesh, the Zohar Es HaTuma, he forgot, he didn't know that this food is Kodesh, but he knows that he's Tomei. Or Nelman Menu Zeh V'Zeh, or he forgot both of them, the Ochos HaKodesh, and he ate Kodesh, V'lo Yoda, and he didn't know, Misha Ochol Yoda, after he ate, he knew that he remembered that he was Tomei, or that this is Kodeshim. Hareza Ba'ol V'Yoda, then all those cases are the cases where he would bring the Korban Ol V'Yoda. So again, the korban of the year, it means that it's adjustable in value. If he's rich, he brings a female sheep or a female goat, as would be a regular chatas. If he can't afford that, then he brings two birds, one for an ola, one for a chatas. And if he can't even afford that, then he brings a mincha. Yeah, of just flour, no oil, and no levaina, yeah. So that's one possibility. Another case, similarly, also involving the Beis Mikdash. Nitma, he became Tomei, V'yada, and he knew that he was Tomei, V'nelma mimena Tumah, he forgot that he was Tomei, V'zochor san Mikdash, but he knows this is the Beis Mikdash, and that if I'm Tomei, I can't go into it, but now he just forgot that he was Tomei. Or the other way around, Nelma mimena Mikdash, he didn't know about the Beis Mikdash, he didn't know that this is the Beis Mikdash, he's not allowed to go in it when he's Tomei or whatever, V'zochor san Tumah, but he remembers that he's Tomei, Nelma mimena Zevazeh, we forgot both points, V'nichas san Mikdash, and he goes into the Beis Mikdash, V'lo Yada, he still didn't know when he went in, he knows after he went out, that would be another case where he's bringing a korban out of the yodid. So far we have several possibilities. We're going to see in the Gemara in that case, then we have more than Shtayim Shein Arba. On the face of it, we have a lot more than Arba then so far. Tosfos points out, by the way, that again, when we talk about the Yediyah over here, are we talking about Yediyah as in a full-fledged knowledge? I know that I was Tomei, right now, or do we mean Yediyah was what's called Yediyah Sbeis Rabbi, the knowledge that he has from when he was a Cheder Yingle, that when a person becomes Tomei, he's also to enter the Beis Mikdash, and that would be enough for us for it to be considered Yediyah, as we'll see in the Gemara. Next, the Mishnah continues. Echad anichnas la'azara. All of this is true whether he enters the original space of the azara. Ve'echad anichnas la'toisfas azara. The same thing would also be if he went into the extra area of the azara. Meaning, in other words, that there was a meaning. In other words, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, and as the Gemara is going to explain in detail, it's possible to. It's possible for them to expand the size of the Azara. There's a whole procedure that they have to do it. But once they do that, then that expanded area has now the full-fledged Kedusha of the Azara, and if somebody were to go into that area. So first of all, that gives you an easy way to understand how there could be Helam Tumah, for example, because here you're Helam Mikdash, because here you're asking how could a person do it without having Alzheimer's or something. Let's say they just recently expanded the Azara, and he's not familiar with it. He's used to, still, but up until this point, this area was outside the Azara, and I was allowed to go into it, and then now they expanded it, and now he can't. But I mean, obviously, eventually they would rebuild the walls of Pashto, so they'd put signs. But let's say, for example, that becomes an easier way to do it.
He's going to be Spanish, but he doesn't know where the cutoff point is.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, when we say the Azara, we mean everything from the Ezra Sistrel inward. So, we include the Ezra Sistrel, the Ezra Koyanim, everything from Shaar Nikanor or any of the other gates of the Azara inward. So there are walls and there are gates there. It should be easy to tell when you're going from one to the other. But that's what I'm saying. You could have. We were just last week, let's say, they decided to expand the Azara, and they did the whole ceremony to do that, and they haven't rebuilt the walls yet. So, yeah. In any case, so if the person goes into Tosfos HaAzara, then also he would be equally chayev. She'en Mosifin ala. Now let's tell you how this is done. She'en Mosifin ala Irva ala Azoras. In order to add to the size of your shalayim, now you have also your shalayim has many special dinim. In particular, you can eat Maisa Sheni only in there. You can eat Kodshim Kalim only in there. So also you have to know the actual borders of your shalayim as far as the city of your shalayim as far as halacha. The same thing. They can expand your shalayim if they want and give a new area the kedusha of your shalayim. But so to do that, so to expand the city, Val Azara, so to expand the Azara. Ella, they need all of the following. The Melech, they need the king has to be involved. The Novi, there needs to be a Novi telling them, to do it. The Urim V'Tumim, they need also the Urim V'Tumim, the Sanhedrin Shal Shivim V'Echad, and they need the Sanhedrin of 71. Tosfos, by the way, discusses the question that in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah had mentioned over there the various things for which you need the Beis Din of 71, and it mentioned only that. It didn't mention all these other details. Why not? So Tosfos says, because over there in Sanhedrin, it's just the matter of we want to mention all the things of which the Sanhedrin of 71 has jurisdiction. We're not getting into the details over there. The details are left for our Mishnah. So Tosfos also brings up the point that why do we need Tosfos asks, the Gemara is going to learn, the Gemara is going to explain that it has to be the same way as they were Makadish, the Mishkan in the first place, is how we have to do later on when we want to be Makadish, a new area with the Kedusha of the Azara. The question is, Tosfos says the Urim V'Tumim didn't exist at that point because they were Makadish it, they built the Mishkan, they were Makadish it, and then Aaron started serving in it. Meanwhile, you have the Shivas Miami Lurim. There's no, they're not using the Urim B'Tumim. The Kohen Gadol's not wearing the Urim B'Tumim during that time.
But there's no Spangler at that time.
So, no, it's not a matter of expansion, but the point is they have to give it the first, the original Kedusha. Here you have a space in the, here you have a space in the desert, which to begin with had no Kedusha. And now we're going to give it the Kedusha of the Azara, so we need the whole ceremony as well. The Gemara is going to explain that the same way as you had all these factors then. You had Moshe as the Melech, and he's also the Navi, and then you had many other Naviim as well. And you had the, and you had the Urim V'Tumim, and you had the, and you had the Sanhedrin of 71. So the same way in future generations, you need the same kind of thing. The question is, Tosfos says, on the face of it, they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim because Aaron's not wearing them yet. So Tosfos,
what happened on the 8th day?
No, but the first 7 days of Kedusha as well.
So, it was a okay.
Yeah, even though it's 7 days of the Mu'ud.
It was a thing from Hashem to do this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So as the Tosfos leaves the question open, a couple of Mefoshim give different answers. The Ritva says, fine, but the Urim V'Tumim were already made by that point, so therefore that's already considered that they existed even though they're not worn yet. And the Pnei Yeshua gives another point. He says, listen, the point of the Urim V'Tumim is to have a direct message from Hashem. Well, since Hashem is explicitly telling Moshe to build the Mishkan over here, then that's good enough. That counts in place of the Urim V'Tumim.
But all the whole procedure of Shiva Yamim was done to Hashem. So.
Right, but nevertheless, we're learning from that, Ladurus, see. So fine. So they need all those. They need all of those parties involved. And then the Mishnah continues. It was shtei todas. They would also have two korbanos toda, where they would use them. They would go in a procession around the area that they would take two loaves of bread from a korban toda, and they would carry them in a procession around this new area that's going to be expanded into Yerushalayim. The Gemara is going to explain that's as far as when they're expanding Yerushalayim. When they're expanding the Azara, they use a different korban for the purpose. The point is, a toda is one of the is an example of one of the korbanos that can be eaten in Yerushalayim. So now they use the bread of the Torah, and symbolically with that, we'll say, they're saying, now this new area that we're adding is going to be an area where you can eat Korbanos Torah and other Kodshim Kalim, rather.
How many times did they expand the Azara with the ceremony?
We don't know. They did, with Gemara saying that we learned from the fact that it was done originally in the Midbar, so it doesn't mean that they actually did the whole ceremony, but Pashtos, that seems to be what the Gemara is saying, and they certainly had all these parties involved. The Gemara is going to mention the one place in Tanakh where we find this ceremony being done is in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. You find it described in Sefer Nehemiah, how they did a whole procession around the walls of Yerushalayim. The Gemara is going to explain that that was basically, now the Gemara is going to explain they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim at that time. They didn't have a king either. They were under the rule of the Persians, and the Urim V'Tumim had been hidden away towards the end of the first Beis Mikdash. So what they did then actually, the Gemara is going to explain, they did it symbolically to invest the city with the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, but in fact, all they were doing was the area that had previously been the area of Yerushalayim already in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, in other words, they're redoing it because now, as Gemara is going to discuss later on, Daf Tzayin, about that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim had not necessarily continued after the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So now they have to be Mekadosh it again, and it was more symbolic because they didn't have all the factors that we're saying over here. But yeah, in other words, the point is, in Ezra and Nehemiah's times, if they had wanted to expand Yerushalayim, they wouldn't have been able to because they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim and they didn't have a king. The pastor said sometime before that they must have done that as well. I'll tell you, it's a, you know, like this, when David originally made Yerushalayim his capital, and eventually the Beis Hamikdash was built there, so first of all, the Pashtus, they would have had to do it then as well, because if nothing else, I mean, before Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha, and now it does, so they would have had to do it either in David's or Shlomo's times. But besides that also, there is an argument that the original city of Yerushalayim of David's times was only the area south of the Har HaBayis, the area that nowadays is called the Ir David. You have all the archaeological digs over there and all the, there are those who say that the rest of the city of Yerushalayim, much of what's nowadays the old city, and then some areas outside of it, like Har Tzion, there's an argument that those were added to Yerushalayim only much later when the population grew. Well, if that's the case, then they would have had whenever that was, whether in Chizkiyahu's time or some previous king, they would have had to do this whole ceremony as well. It's not recorded in Pesukim, but nevertheless, that's how it would have been, yeah. So they use the two Todas over Shir. And they also have to be singing. There has to be the Levium and the accompany them with musical instruments and singing Kapitlach Tillim. We're going to have in the Gemara is going to give us all the details about this ceremony. Or Beistin Mahalchin, the Beistin would walk in the procession, or Shtei Todas Achareihen, the two loaves of the Korban Todah would be carried behind them, V'chol Yisrael Achareihen, and the rest of the Jewish people in turn are following the members of the Beistin. Now, eventually, you have, after they do the procession, the of the two loaves of bread of the Torah that were brought in this procession, the inner one is eaten by the Kohenim, or by anybody, because the Torah can be eaten by any Israel, and the outer one is burnt. What we mean, the inner and the outer one, we're going to see in the Gemara. I'm going to discuss that point, and also the Gemara is going to explain over there that it doesn't necessarily mean, actually, it always has to be the inner and the outer one. It's really whatever the Navi tells them to. The Navi will be told by Hashem at that time, or maybe he'll decide, down in his capacity as a great Talmid Chacham, which one should be eaten and which one should be burnt. So b'chol shalei nasis b'chol elu. Now, if an area was added to the Azara or to Yerushalayim without all of these factors, hanichnas l'shamein chayev. So now let's talk about with the Azara. If somebody goes into an area that was added to the Azara without this whole ceremony and without all of these parties being involved, then he won't be chayev for it because then it doesn't have the kedusha of the Azara. That's the point we're saying. Is in other words, in order for it to have the kedusha of the Azara, it actually has to be that it was done with all of these details. And then he would be chayav kares for going in there. And then if he does it b'shogeg with the yedia and halav on yedia, then he'd be chayav korban over the yerim. Okay.
It's interesting that the Il David is in a depressed area, in a lower area, and we know the Adar Kedar was done on Har Amoriah.
There's no question.
So how can we say?
No, so there's no question the city of Yerushalayim includes, obviously, the Har HaBayis, and Har HaBayis is Har HaMoriah. What we're saying is you have the area of the Beis HaMikdash, the area of the Azara and the Har HaBayis and so forth, which is on top of the mountain, and then you have the slope downward of that mountain. There is an argument that only that slope was the original residential. I shouldn't have said Yerushalayim, I meant the residential area of Yerushalayim, the area where the king's palace and the people's houses were. The king's palace would have been closer to the top, closer. It might have even been included in the expanded Har HaBayis of nowadays. Incidentally, by the way, you look at a map or a picture or whatever, you'll see the Har HaBayis. You know, here the Mishnah in Midas tells us that the Har HaBayis was 500 by 500 amos, meaning that it was square. Nowadays, it's a rectangle or it's a trapezoid or something, and it's a good deal larger in length than 500 amos. Even the most generous size of an amma, the Chazanish amma, the area nowadays within the walls of the Har HaBayis is much larger than that. So the general understanding is that when Hurdus renovated the second Beis HaMikdash, then he expanded the area of the Har HaBayis. But since there was no Melech and Navi and all of that, and the war was long gone, or Metumim were long gone, that area wouldn't have the full Kedusha of the Har HaBayis. The question is, what are those expanded areas and what is the original? Nowadays, when you have people argue about this whole matter of going up to the Har HaBayis, in theory, the fact is, first of all, Tomei Mes is allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, so he's not allowed to go beyond the Chayil. In theory, there might be areas of the walls inside the Har HaBayis into which a Yisrael could go, and into which a person could go, even though he's Tomei, unless he has what's called Tumah Yotza or the Megufa, unless like he's a Zov or a Balkeri or anything like that, in theory. In practice, though, most Rabbanim don't allow it, mainly because it's very easy without there being any walls nowadays. You have inside there, you have the Arab mosques, but you don't have any markings where the area of the Har HaBayis ends and where the Chayil begins, because everything was destroyed. So there's too much of a concern that you may end up going into an area where you're also, and that would be a real problem. I saw, by the way, in this connection, they bring a story from that was told over by the Ziknei Yerushalayim, where one time in the late 18 or early 1900s, a couple of cows ran away from a shlachtoys and ran into the area of the Har HaBayis. So they said, can we go in there to retrieve the animals? But Shmuel Salant told them, the Rav of Yerushalayim at that time, told them not only that, he says you can't even send an Arab in there to get them. The most you can do to tell them to go in there, you can't. The most you can do, the Rav said, yell at the Arab, how you talking, how could you let these animals go, and so on and so forth, give it to him over the head, and eventually he'll think to himself, you know what, let me go get those animals back. So he's not going in. By your command is fine. It would be a lot better, obviously, if they're not going in there either, but at least as long as you're not actually sending them in there, then.
But without knowing exactly all the borders, the initial Har HaBayis, still the fact that it remains that the highest area is where the stone lies, And that's where the Akedah happened.
That's true. And that's what I'm saying. So that is part of the city of Yerushalayim. But later on, when we talk about the city of Yerushalayim as a whole, we mean the area outside the Beis Mikdash, because obviously the Beis Mikdash has special, than the Har HaBayis have special halachos of their own. So I'm saying there are different historians and archaeologists and all kinds of, and I think Lahavdil Rabbonim as well, argue about this point. Was the city of Yerushalayim in David's times already as large as it is, as the old city is now, nowadays, plus the area of Ir David, or is it not? Was it only the area of Ir David and expanded to include what's now Hatzion and the Jewish quarter and the Armenian quarter and all that only later? Of course, either way included Haramariya to begin with, yeah.
Exactly, but it's hard to argue that Ir David was the initial area of Kedusha because it's in the slope. And it's not the highest point.
That would be the area of Kedusha of Yerushalayim outside the Beis Hamikdash. In other words, you would have, originally there's a city, in other words, let's put it this way, before David conquered the area, you would have a city of Yerushalayim whose highest point is Aravna's threshing floor, and then you'd have it slopes down from there and includes houses and then whatnot, and then David conquered it, and then eventually, of that, the highest point, Har HaMoriah, became the site of the Beis Hamikdash, and the rest of it remained residential areas. And then later on, within a few centuries after that, then it expanded further to include what's now Hatzion and the Jewish quarter and so forth. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is to begin with, the whole city included Har HaMoriah and included Ir David and included Hatzion and included the Jewish quarter. And just all it is that one area of it, then that highest area became the Beis Hamikdash, and the rest of it was the city of Yerushalayim to begin with.
Yeah. So why do you say that it's David who gave the Kedusha? It's Avram who gave the Kedusha.
How would it have Kedusha before that? Before that, it was a Canaan city.
No, but when Avram went there, then that's when it acquired Kedusha.
That gave it that one day the Beis Hamikdash was going to be built there. And still, you can still say one day there's going to be Mishkan as well, but they still needed to give the place the Kedusha. So, yes. So it would mean, in other words, if they had that, there had to be something
second.
Done to get. Okay, you know
one
what?
Second.
We have to go on over here. But
One second.
Yeah.
Are you saying that after the Akedah, it lost its Kedusha? Is
Not
that what you're saying?
Kedusha, but there's a difference between the Kedusha of this place is one day going to be the site of the Beis Hamikdash versus that it actually has the dinim of the Beis Hamikdash now, that somebody goes in there when he's tummy, his chayv kodesh, and you can eat kodshe kodshim over there and so on and so forth. There has to be something done. There has to be a melech and a novi and so on and so forth to do that. Otherwise, all you have is a potential Kedusha over there. Okay, let's go on. The Mishnah continues. Nitma ba'azara. Suppose a person became tamei inside the azara itself. V'nel memena tuma, and again he forgot that he was tamei. V'zocheres hamikdash, but he remembers that he's in the Beis Hamikdash. Or nel memena mikdash v'zocheres atuma, or the other way, v'zocheres atuma. He remembers that he's in the Beis Hamikdash, but he forgets that he's in the Beis Hamikdash, but he remembers the tuma. Or nel memena zevazeh, or he forgot both of them. V'ishtachva. Now, if inside the Beis Hamikdash, with this, he now bows over there, or it doesn't even mean that he actually bows. It's just shav chdei shtachava. He even maybe waited long enough in there that a person could bow, which we're going to learn in the Gemara later on, a definition of how long that is. Or he left the Beis Hamikdash, but left by a longer route than possible. So in all those cases, chayav, so he will be chayav for a korban. So in that case, in other words, we count that also as examples of where he's chayav a korban over the yerded. So before we were talking about he was outside the Beis Hamikdash when he became Tomei, and then he went in because he forgot that he was Tomei, or that this is the Beis Hamikdash, or both. Now we're talking about he became Tomei inside the Beis Hamikdash. Let's say a dead sheretz fell on him in the Beis Hamikdash. So now the point is, in other words, the din is he has to leave the Beis Hamikdash by the shortest possible route, and he can't bow or do anything as he's going out. We're saying if he does, and he didn't realize that he had done that, he was wrong by doing that, now he has to bring a korban olah v'yored. And for that matter, if he doesn't amaze it, he'd be chayiv malchus or chorus, as the case may be. Zuhi mitzvahs esa shem mikdash in chayav and aleha. This is the case where you have a mitzvah saseh involving the Beis Hamikdash, because you have a mitzvah saseh for the tneim to leave the tohor areas. She'ein chayovin aleha, where they are not chayav for it. I mean, the Mishnah means as follows. We're going to learn in the Masechta Horodias in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, that you have the cases where the Sanhedrin Gdola makes a mistake in halacha and pastons for the Jewish people, and then when they realize their mistake, they have to bring a parhelim davar shel tzibur. You have the parallel case where the Kohen Gadol pastons halacha for himself, where he's a distinguished Talmid Chacham and he's able to pasten halacha for himself, and he ends up pastoning that a certain thing is mutter, and it turns out then afterwards he realizes a mistake. So now, the Mishnah says over there that the par helam davashal tzibur and the tzibur and the Kohen Gadol will not be chayev their special par for cases involving an eser or a lois eser involving the Beis Mikdash. So a lois eser involving the Beis Mikdash is easy to understand. There's a lois eser in the Torah that a tamei should not enter the Beis Mikdash. Where is there an eser involving the Mikdash? That's our Mishnah is explaining. The eser is where you have a mitzvah. Once a person became tamei in the Beis Mikdash, he has a mitzvah eser to leave. So now if he doesn't leave, he's over on that eser. But if Beis Din were to mistakenly say, for example, if they were to mistakenly pass in halacha that when a person becomes tamei in the Beis Mikdash, he does not have to leave by the shortest route, then when it turns out that they're mistaken, they would not have to bring the korban, they would not have to bring the par helam davar shel tzibur for that. By the way, the implication seems to be, by the way, that if he does stay in the Beis Mikdash, then he would not, first of all, we're saying he'd be chayav the korban, but also the Gemara is going to end up talking about that he might even be chayav malchus if he stays in there too long. So there's an interesting discussion about that, because on the face of it, it's a lav shein be maisa. He's not doing anything in there. He's just staying in there. Why is he chayav malchus for that? So there's a few possibilities. Tosfos brings up the point that maybe that Gemara is talking about, according to the opinion, that a person does get malchus for a lav shein be maisa. Another possibility is that when you have something where there has to be a certain maisa, and then the result is now it's possible for the person to continue being over on it without doing anything actively, he can still be chayav malchus for that. We had an example in Makkos about that. For example, a person puts on a garment of shatnez and continues to wear it even when he had time to take it off, then he can be chayav malchus for that. So there's so similarly over here, since to begin with, he's not allowed to go into the Beis Mikdash when he's tamei. So now, even though he didn't become tamei outside of this mikdash, he became tamei in it, nevertheless, we can still consider it enough of a maisa for him to be chayav malchus for it. But anyway, our Mishnah is not focusing on that. It's focusing more on when he's chayav for the korban olah v'yorin. So the Mishnah continues. Now you have a similar kind of thing so here, let's say with the Beis Mikdash, you have the person went in there and he was perfectly allowed to go in there because he was tahor. Then while he was in the Beis Mikdash, he became tamei and he has to leave as soon as possible. Now the Mishnah is going to point out a similar kind of thing in a completely different area of halacha. The Ezri mitzvah esa shebe nida shechayavan aleha. What is an example of a mitzvah asay involving a nida where a person would be chayav for it? Where the Sanhedrin would be chayav for the par helam davar shel tzibur if they mistakenly allow it. So that would be as follows. Now, a loisa says, easy to understand. The Torah tells us, don't have relations with a nida. Where is there an eser involved? Hoyim mishamash imat tahora. Suppose that a man is having relations with his wife and she's tahor. V'omer lo nitmesi, and then while they're having relations, she suddenly feels a flow of blood and says, I became tamei. Now, upirish miyad, if he were to withdraw right away while his aver is still erect, that would be a problem. Chayev, he would be chayev for that. Or a korban or whatever, as the case may be, because he gets just as much pleasure from withdrawing as from going in. The man has the same pleasure from it. So instead, what he has to do, Rashi describes, is that he has to stop moving, wait until the aver goes limp, and then he can withdraw, as we'll see in the Gemara. So now, in other words, the point is, if the Sanhedrin Gdola were to mistakenly paskin that in a case like that, a person is allowed to withdraw while he's erect, then they would be, then they, now when it turns out that they're mistaken, they would be chayav, and most of the Jewish people would follow that, they would be chayav the par helam davar shel tzibur. So even though it's only an eser, nevertheless, they would still be chayav for it. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. So far we said in the Mishnah that you can have where he forgot that he was Tomei, he forgot that this was the Beis Mikdash, or that these are Kodshim, or both. But now the Mishnah says there are several different opinions about that. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Since the Pasuk says, Hasheretz v'ne'el amimenu, the Pasuk says that he became Tomei with a Sheretz and it was forgotten from him, is how the pasuk goes. So therefore, we learn from that. Says Rabbi Eliezer, Al helam sheretz chayv ben chayv al helam mikdash. Rabbi Eliezer says if he had forgotten that he was in the bis mikdash or that he's not allowed to be in the bis mikdash when he's tamei, that would not be a case where he's chayv the korban or the yodid. Rabbi Eliezer holds only when he remembers, only when he forgets the truma. So if he remembers that he's Tomei the whole time, Rabbi Eliezer says he's not bringing the korban or the yodid. He forgot this is the bis mikdash. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Eliezer says the pasuk is excluding that. Rabbi Akiva learns from the pasuk differently. V'nelam menavu tomei. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, but the pasuk says it was forgotten from him, and he is tomei. So from that we learn. Al helam tumachay ve'in chayv al helam mikdash. So Rabbi Akiva says the other way around. Oh, not the other way around. He says, I learned the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer, but I'm learning it in a different way. Because it says, v'nelam menavu tomei means that when is he chayv the korban or the yored? When he forgot that he was tomei. But not when he forgot that this is the bais mikdash or that these are kodshim. So basically, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are saying the same thing, but what pasuk they learn it from. We'll see in the Gemara if there's any nafkamina between their different opinions. Rabbi Shmuel says another point, v'nelam, shtei pamim. Rabbi Shmuel says that no, the pasuk is v'nelam twice, l'chayev al helam tumah v'al helam mikdash, and that teaches us that he's chayev whether he forgot the tumah or whether he forgot the mikdash. So when our Mishnah had started saying he's chayev the korban, whether he forgot that he was tameh or whether he forgot that it was the bis mikdash or both, that would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. So, and the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shmuel. We have usually a rule, halacha k'Rav Akiva mechavei roi, but not mechavei rov. Here we have two tanoim arguing with him, and the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel.
Then chavei roi means?
Chavei roi means against one individual tanoim.
Then
the halacha is generally like Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Rapapa Labaya. So now, let's start with the fact that the Mishnah had said Shtayim Shein Arba. The question is, Rapapa asked Abaya, what do you mean Shtayim Shein Arba? Why are we calling the Yedias HaTuma two which are four? Shtayim Shein Sheish Havyan. You have two which are six. Yedias HaTuma Tchil V'Soif. You have where he forgot that he was Tomei, and you have where he knew that he was Tomei to begin with and remembered it afterwards. So that's two. Yedias HaKodesh Tchil V'Soif. Then you have two involving Kodesh, where he knew that, this is Kodesh food, and then he forgot it, and then he remembered again. Yedias Mikdash Tchil V'Soif. And then you have the same thing as far as the Mikdash. So you have six cases where he's, you have six cases where he's Chayav Korban Olah V'Yored. Why are we calling it Shtayim Shein Arba? So Abaya answers him back. Vali Taimeich, new according to your Svara, Tamni Havin, then you could ask that it's eight really. Because you have also the case, the Dahika, Tumma de Kodesh, Vitumma de Mikdash Trila, the Soif. Because you also have the case where he forgot both that he was Tomei and that this is the Mikdash. So you have, in other words, you can have that, actually what the Gemara is asking is, rather, that with each one of them, you have two Yediyas, one at the beginning, one at the end. You have, never mind getting into the, even if you're going to say that, fine, we're not counting Mikdash and Kodesh separately, but you really have eight, because you have, when it comes to Tumah of Mikdash, and when it comes to Tumah of Kodesh, each one, you have a Yediyah at the beginning, and then you have a Yediyah at the end. So therefore, you have four cases, but you have eight Yediyas. So why isn't Rav Papa asking about that? So the Gemara answers Holei Kasha. That's not a problem. Shein Tuma Achasi, because in both cases you have one Tuma, so we don't really care how many different Yediyas there are. We're focusing on the number of different ways that he became Tomei and is Chayev. So in that case, on the face of it, there are six cases altogether. Again, so forget about the number of Yediyas. Let's focus on the number of different ways where his tumah causes him to bring a korban. One where he forgot that he was Tomei, one where he knew that he was Tomei but forgot that this is the Bais HaMikdash, one where he forgot that he was Tomei and where he remembered that he was Tomei but forgot that this is Kodesh, and then you have the other way around with each one of them where he remembered that this is a Mikdash or Kodesh but he forgot that he was Tomei, so you seem to come out with six. So the Gemara answer is Omar Apapa. So the Apapa himself gives the answer. Lo olam tamni havyan. In fact, there are 8 cases because we do have to count the Yedias as well. The difference is Avoy Kamaisa. But the first 4 don't bring him to a korban because there's not going to be a korban unless there's yidiyah b'sof. So therefore, like a choshev, so therefore the Mishnah is not counting him. Only the last 4 would bring him to a korban because only when he remembers afterwards he's going to be bringing a korban. Kachoshev, then therefore it's counting those. So the shtayim shein arba means, in other words, there were 4 cases where at the end he remembers that he was Tomei, or that this is the Beis Mikdash, as the case may be, and therefore he's bringing the carbon. So you have to distinguish, in other words, between the first one and the last one. Rashi brings a different gears over here that. So Rashi's own girsa is the way we have it over here. The last 4 bring him to a korban. Then Rashi brings there's a different girsa that says, on the contrary, the first 4 are the ones that bring him to the korban, in the sense that if there was no yediyah b'tchila, then there's never going to be a korban, as we learned in the previous parak. However, Rashi doesn't like that because then the Gemara is going to bring an ikadami. The Gemara is going to give another way of understanding it. So that fits better with the understanding that we're talking about the last ones and not the first ones. So therefore, in other words, when we say Shain Shain Abra, what we mean is at the end there's 4 different ways where there can be that he remembered and therefore he's bringing the korban. One where he had forgotten in between that he was Tomei. One where he had and gone into the Beis Mikdash. One where he remembered at the end that this was the Mikdash that I was in. And the same thing with Kodshin. So that's where the Ikadamri, another version is, Amar Papa, another version of how Papa said it, La'olam tamni havyan, there are in fact 8, Va'aboi kamaisa, the lesser b'chola terakula, but the Mishnah is not, the Mishnah is only counting the ones where you don't have anything like that, b'chola terakula. With most Averis, you don't have to have a yediyah b'tchila. A person eats chaylev, for example, it doesn't matter whether he ever knew that chaylev is also or that this is chaylev. He eats it once he finds out that it was chaylev and that he wasn't allowed to, he's going to have to bring a korban. Same thing with Shabbos, same thing with anything else for which a person brings a chatas. Uniquely over here, you have this kind of thing where you need yediyah b'tchila. So therefore, so those 4 that less know b'chol ha-Torah, so that are not found anywhere else in the Torah, so therefore kachoshiv, so therefore the Mishnah is counting those, and that's our 4. Avoy basraisa, when it comes to the last 4, the isnu b'chol ha-Torah kula, those you have equally well, by kol ha-Torah kula, a person can't bring a korban unless he knows that he did something wrong, lo kachoshiv, so the Mishnah is not counting those, because those are not unique to Yedias HaTumah. So in other words, according to the second answer, what we're saying is, so according to the first answer, we're saying that the Mishnah is focusing on the Yediyas at the end, because those are the ones that actually make it possible for him to bring a korban. Now we're saying, on the contrary, the Mishnah may be focusing on the 4 at the beginning, because that's unique to Yediyas HaTumah. So the 4 at the beginning would be to know that he's Tomei and he's not allowed to go into the Beis Mikdash, and then to forget either that he was Tomei or that this is the Beis Mikdash, or that this is Kodshim. So there's 4 different ways where he had a yediyah at the beginning and then forgot afterwards and is now chayav a korban when he remembers afterwards. So that's why we say Shayim Shein Arba, even though, yeah, if you break it down, you do have more cases, because you have the various cases where he forgot Tumah, forgot Kodesh, forgot Tumah, forgot the Beis Mikdash, forgot Kodesh, forgot both of them, etc. Boy Rapapa. So now Rapapa asks the question, what would happen if the person forgot the halachas of Tumah? So let's say till now we're talking about, for example, the forgetting is that he forgot that he had touched a sheretz and became Tomei, let's say. So now what about he knows he touched the sheretz, but he doesn't know that a sheretz is Tomei? So Mahu, what would be the din? Is that considered also to be a halam or not? So the Gemara asks, "Hey, Chidomi, well, what's the scenario? Ilema de la yoda isheretz tome itzfadir tome. Is it that he knows that there's some kind of amphibian, let's say, that makes him tome? You have, after all, you have certain kinds of lizards and toads and things like that that are mekame a person when they're dead, and then you have, let's say, frogs that are not. So let's say, for example, so he thinks, you know what, if a frog is not mekame, a dead frog is not mekame me, so he doesn't realize, for example, but a dead lizard is mekame me." So he doesn't realize that point. But what do you mean? Why would that be considered not knowing? Zilkori Beiravu. Wouldn't that be something that he can go learn in Chedu, even to Nokas Rabbi Sraban, learn this pasuk with the 8 shrotzim? So therefore, that can't be considered a halem. So the fact is, therefore, the fact is he knows he touched something. Right now, he doesn't know that that something makes him tamei. But in other words, it's considered. We should consider. You can't call it that there was a halem. So you have a yediyah b'tchila. He knew that he became tamei. If in fact later on he forgot that he had touched it, then you do have a yediyah b'tchila. You can argue that yediyah b'tchila was not a yediyah because he didn't know that this dead lizard makes him tamei. That's not considered a lack of yediyah because any cheder yingo could tell you that. So the answer so what's the Rapapa's question? The answer is lo'olam diyada v'tumas sheref. So fine, we're talking about, let's say he knows that there are shrotzim that are matame, and he knows even which ones. Or k'gon dinogar b'kad dosha, but he touched a lentil-sized piece of a dead sheref. V'lo yada, k'ad dosha imatame yiloy matame. He doesn't know whether a lentil-sized piece is enough to make him tame or not. Now that's not zilkori beirav. Children don't necessarily learn that in cheder. So therefore, so in other words, when it's something that he could have learned in cheder, Tosfos explains, it should be considered a yediyah. He could have easily asked and found out. But this kind of thing is not so obvious. Now Tosfos also gives a few other explanations about this zilkori beirav, about the frog versus the lizard, let's say. First of all, Tosfos says that, let's say, you could have a person, Taka, who never learned in cheder. He sees nobody is touching dead lizards. It doesn't occur to him why. So now he doesn't know the difference between, for example, I touched a frog, I touched a dead frog, I touched a dead lizard. One's matame, one's not. He may never have learned this point in cheder. Also, zilkori beirav can mean, in other words, that he did learn that atzav is matame, and atzav is a type of toad or something like that. So you should know already that's matame, whereas a frog is not. Tosfos also points out we can't talk about a tinnik shenishva because we're saying this is a person who knows that one of them is matame, he just doesn't know which is which. But now the Gemara's answer, never mind that, he knows which one is matame, which one is not. He just doesn't know the point that there's kadosha, which is part of Torah Shabbat Peh. So you can't say zilkori beirav. That may be truly something that he never learned. So now you have Rapapa's question. So now the question is, my, what's the din? Even the yodim matame sheretz v'olam, since he knows that there is a concept of a sheretz being matame, yediyahi, therefore that can be considered a yediyah, that he knew he has the yediyah b'tchila, and now if he forgets that he's tame and enters the bismikdash, so now he didn't know, so now not so much forgets, now he doesn't know that makes him tame, but nevertheless you can still consider it a yediyah b'tchila for the fact that he knows that he touched a sheretz and that shrotzim are matame, he just doesn't know that he touched a piece of it large enough to make him tamei, so that would be considered a yediyah or a halem. Or duma, even the kadosh la yodei matame la matame halomi. Or maybe we should consider it. There was no yediyah b'tchila because he didn't know to begin with that he became tamei. We can't resolve that. So that would mean, in other words, you can't bring the korban because you can't bring a korban for a suffix. Okay. Boy, Rabbi Yumiya. So now Rabbi Yumiya asks, here's another question. Ben Bavel Sha'olah La'aretz Yisrael. Suppose a person from Bavel who's never seen the Beis Hamikdash before, he knows there's a Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, he has no idea where it is, and he comes up to Eretz Yisrael, V'nelem Menemokim Mikdash Mahu, when he doesn't know what the site of the Beis Hamikdash is, and he walks in without realizing it. In other words, a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even if he doesn't live around Yerushalayim, he knows pretty well where the site of the Beis Hamikdash is. But a Ben Bavel has no idea. So the Gemara says, Alibidaman. Well, who are we asking? Who is Rabbi Yumiya asking the question according to? If he's asking according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds, as we've been saying all along, that there needs to be yediyah b'tchila, that there does need to be to begin with, that he knows that he was tamei and he's not allowed to enter the Beis Hamikdash. Well, then holei mechayev al helam mikdash. Then you can't be mechayev him for helam mikdash, or you can. All you can be mechayev him for is if he forgot that he was tamei. But here he knows that he's tamei the whole time. So it wouldn't be hella mikdash. The iyalibidirabishmal. And if the question is according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mechayev al hella mikdash. Rabbi Akiva says in our Mishnah that a person is not chayev if he forgot the site of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Akiva had said in our Mishnah that he's chayev only if he forgot that he was tamei. Well, he remembers he's tamei the whole time. He just doesn't know that this is a Beis Hamikdash. So then according to Rabbi Akiva, there'd be no room for the question. Because according to him, yeah, the person is going to be potter because he never forgot that he was tamei in the first place. So you don't have the hell of midday. And if the question is a point to Rabbi Shmuel, the Mechayev al Helam Nikdash, whereas we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel is Mechayev him for forgetting that there was a Mishnah, Hobel Abor Yediyah B'Tchila. As we're going to learn later on in the Perek, Rabbi Shmuel holds that you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila. He holds it's enough that you just have Helam and Yediyah B'Seif like every other issue where a person is Chayev Achakas. So who is the question according to? So the question is, like Sricha, Alibad the Rebbe. The question is, would be according to Rebbe's opinion. Debor Yediyah B'Tchila. Rebbe, like Rabbi Akiva, does require Yediyah B'Tchila, as we learned in the previous parak. However, he also holds, like Rabbi Shmuel, that a person is chayev for helam mikdash as well, and not just for helam tumah. The Omar, we can say that we also know that Rebbe holds Yediyah Beis Rabbi Shmo Yediyah. The fact that he knew from when he was a cheder yingel that a person is not allowed to go into the mikdash tameh, that itself is considered enough of a yediyah, even if he doesn't know in this particular case that he became tameh. So now the question would be my given the yoda, since he knows the general din, the ikam mikdash ba'olam, there exists the base mikdash in the world, yediyah, then that's enough for it to be considered a yediyah, and therefore he'd be chayav a korban. Aduma, given the makom la yoda, or maybe since he doesn't know the spot of the base mikdash, halama, then it would be considered a helam, and how can he bring a korban for that? It could be considered like there was no helam in the first place, that there was no yediyah in the first place. So again, the Gemara says teku, we can't resolve that, and therefore again, he's not bringing the korban because he can't bring the korban for a suffix. And there's no Oshem Tolery for it either, by the way, because an Oshem Tolery is only for something where there's a regular chashas, not in this case where there would be a korban over the yerdin. So tomorrow we'll take up this whole matter of the ceremony to expand the mikdash and the Yerushalayim Beis Hashem.